On the back of a number of individuals who traveled from India into South Africa having tested positive for COVID-19, concerns around the relatively new B.1.617 variant initially found in India has gripped the nation. With confirmed infection rates slowly rising yet again, concerns around the third wave colliding with the introduction of a new variant is a possibility that cannot be ignored. But Vice Chancellor of Research and Innovation at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor Musa Moshabela, says that there is no concrete proof that the B.1.617 variant will be any harsher than our very own B.1.351 variant.
Mara, there's two things in my view. One, there's the issue of the variant that one can look at and analyze on its own. But then there's the issue of where we are with the third wave in South Africa. And those two things are not automatically the same thing. But we do understand that they could collide, right? Mm. And basically make the situation worse. So I think that when it comes to the variant that is circulating in India, one of the things that needs to be clear is that we cannot guarantee that it is not already circulating in South Africa. We should not make a mistake of thinking that it's any more deadlier than the one that we have circulating in South Africa, the B.1.351. And we should worry about the dominant variant in India, B.1.617, as much as we want to worry about the one that was dominant in the UK and the one that's dominant in Brazil, P1, because they are highly transmissible. These are all the different variants of concern. And in fact, the variant that is dominant in South Africa has got a few more mutations of concern than the one that is dominant in India. But so, for all intents and purposes, we could argue that they are both just as aggressive.
Co-chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19, Professor Kuleka Milisana, agrees with Professor Moshabela and explains how variants are being categorized.
If you're looking at the global pandemic, now we are now going through an era of new variants, okay? And then of these new variants, there's a new terminology that has been crafted that says variants of interest, variants of concern, okay? So variants of concern, currently, there are three defined, clearly defined variants of concern globally. The first one is a variant that was initially described in the UK, which is the B.1.1.7, okay? And then secondly is a variant that was described first in Brazil, which is called P1. And the third one is then the variant that was first described in our country, in South Africa, which is B.1.351. So those are the three variants that are in the category of variants of concern. The one that has been recently, well, not recent actually, because it was actually described around December in India, which is the B.1.617, has not yet been classified as a variant of concern. Now, what is the difference? Now, the Indians, or I mean, a lot of people are calling it a double mutant. Basically, what that means is that these viruses mutate, and they've got mutations at various regions of the gene, of their gene, okay? So the B.1.617 has got a total of about 13 mutations. And of those mutations, two of the mutations are occurring at critical regions. And those critical regions is either regions which then result in that mutant being highly transmissible, or it's being, you know, escaping the immunity. So there are two of those with the B.1.617. Whereas for the South African one, which is B.1.351, it's got a lot more than 13 mutations, and actually it's got three mutations that are occurring in critical regions. What is causing a bit of clouding in fully understanding it is that, as we speak in India, there are three major variants that are circulating which are associated with these high numbers. It is the one that was first described in the UK. It is the one that was first described in South Africa, and then the one that was described in India. First, we don't know how much of each of those variants are circulating in India, which is why we keep on saying, as to what is driving the pandemic right now, we are not able to actually say it is just one variant, but we're saying all those three variants are responsible, because there's not enough data to show how much of each of those variants is actually responsible for the, you know, for the pandemic in India. As a result, we therefore cannot singularly blame that pandemic to B1617.
So while India's recent spike in infections remains a global concern, our own specialist counsel that with the information that they currently have before them, they cannot blame the recent spike of infections in India on the B1617 variant alone. Professor Melisana explains that delaying the onset of the third wave in South Africa until we manage to vaccinate more citizens should be our paramount concern at this stage of the pandemic.
We really do not want a third wave when we are rolling out vaccination. Because now it will just be very difficult, once that we're going to find a system, healthcare system, that gets divided between looking after these massive numbers because of the third wave versus actually healthcare workers, you know, getting the vaccination going. Because it's important for us to make sure that the vaccination program gets, started as quickly as possible, and we vaccinate as fast as we can possibly, because we really want to make sure that those that are at high risk, 60 years and older, and the healthcare workers, obviously, because they are the frontliners, they get vaccinated as quickly as possible. And in fact, we need to delay the start of a third wave for as long as we can, so that we can accumulate enough people who will be vaccinated and therefore develop an immunity. If a third wave comes when the level of immunity in the population is much higher, it will be of less, you know, less impact.
Professor Melisana outlines that our herd immunity will be key going into the third wave, and that communities who have managed to escape relatively intact thus far will be at a higher risk of infections as the third wave comes about. Specifically, she identifies Gauteng as a community at higher risk.
If you're looking at the peaks of the first and the second wave in Gauteng, it's almost similar. We didn't see, you know, that high peak that we were expecting. And therefore, the chances are that if then we do get a third wave in Gauteng, we then can probably predict that it's likely to be higher, because it means we don't have, because there are less people who were exposed to the second phase.
Professor Melisana explains that the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19 is on high alert, and she holds that they will not be caught sleeping as a third wave approaches.
Has MAC at any stage within this week, or are they planning to advise government to possibly go into harsher restrictions or lockdowns?
Well, no, at the moment, well, firstly, there is an advisor that has gone out to government that's looking specifically at a preparation for at the next wave. And there is also another one that we're currently looking at, which is, and we're asking, what are the triggers to stricter restrictions? So if, for instance, we're thinking there might be a third wave coming, can we then identify what is it that government should use as triggers to say, okay, fine, now, you know, if you see 1, 2, 3, it might actually mean let's look at stricter, you know, and to more restrictions, stricter restrictions. So we are, crafting that as well.
Both Professor Melisana and Professor Moshe Bela counsel proactive restrictions that protect lives, but they are both wary of the damage overly harsh restrictions could have on the country's ability to recover from the socioeconomic toll that the pandemic has had. For Multimedia Live, I am Paige Muller. Interviews conducted by Sunday Times reporter Oren Singh.